Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. We're joined, as we have the privilege of being each week, by Gordon Chang, our duty expert and that of, well, it seems most of the free worlds, on Asia. Gordon is, of course, a columnist for the Daily Beast. You can find him frequently on Fox News and other media outlets. We're always delighted that he's with us here for Secure Freedom Radio. He's also the author of two evergreen books, I think it's fair to say, one on the coming collapse of China, the other on nuclear showdown. North Korea takes on the world. Gordon, I want to talk to you about the nexus between those two plot lines, if I can. Welcome back. It's good to have you as always.
Thank you so much, Frank.
So the president, of course, wrapped up his trip to Asia last week, and one of the issues that's on everybody's mind and was apparently a subject of considerable conversation, at least in a number of his stops, was the problem of North Korea. And properly understood, as we've discussed many times, the relationship between China and North Korea. You participated handsomely, I might say, in a briefing in Washington last week for us and spoke about some of the evidence of real material support by the Chinese to the North Koreans in terms of their threat to us. And it's stunning when you think of it in all of its detail. Talk a little bit about that, Gordon, and where you think we stand at the moment in the relationship between, first of all, the Chinese and the North Koreans, and Donald Trump's efforts to try to get the Chinese to bring the North Koreans to heel.
Well, the Chinese support the North Korean economy. They also support North Korea diplomatically. But what is extremely disturbing is that there has been this constant flow of components, equipment, and material to the North Koreans from China for the North's nuclear weapons program. Many people have talked about the missile launchers that the Chinese have supplied the North Koreans, but also it appears that the Chinese has supplied technology for North Korea's most advanced missiles, more advanced than the intercontinental ballistic missiles that the North Koreans tested twice in July. There is evidence that North Korea's solid fuel missiles look to be variants of China's JL-1 submarine launched missile. We don't know how the North Koreans got that technology, but the least likely explanation is that they developed it on their own. Also, April 15th, we saw a very large Chinese canister being paraded through the North Korean capital in the annual Kim Il-sung celebration. That looks like China's canister for its DF-41 missile. A DF-41 has a range of at least 8,700 miles, and if fired from North Korea, it would reach all of the American homeland. We need to ask the Chinese, how come all of this Chinese-looking equipment is appearing in North Korea's inventory? The Trump administration has been putting pressure on the Chinese to stop this flow of materials and technology. It's been ramping it up in steps. I think the administration is going to have to go full bore on the Chinese because they do not seem to be taking the hint.
And when you say that it's a continuing problem, Gordon, is there reason to believe that despite President Trump's efforts and his ostensibly good relationship with Xi Jinping, the president of China, that they are nonetheless enabling this threat of the North Korean missiles and nuclear capabilities to metastasize even as we speak?
Yes, the Chinese clearly have permitted this situation. They've actually emboldened the North Koreans. And I suspect that when that high Chinese official who just wrapped up his four-day trip to Pyongyang, Song Tao, who's the head of the Communist Party's liaison department, in other words, the department that conducts relations with fraternal communist states and other parties around the world, I think that probably the Chinese told the North Koreans, look, you know, you can do what you want. You know, we've got your back. Because across the board, Beijing supports North Korea, and they wouldn't be supporting North Korea if they didn't want this situation to continue. They could stop this at almost any moment by cutting off the money, by cutting off the diplomatic support, by getting the banks out of the money laundering business, and by stopping all this flow of technology and materials for the North Koreans' WMD and missile programs. It's a very simple equation. You don't need to go to school to understand what's going on.
It's a double game. It certainly sounds like saying one thing to Trump and behaving very differently. Let me ask you about two things that are kind of interrelated in that department, Gordon Chang. One is that the Chinese apparently, according to the Wall Street Journal, had anticipated that they would get some further bennies in that double game with Trump by promising to open up their financial sector to Western and specifically American companies. Apparently, there was no interest expressed in that by the Trump visiting team. I'd be interested in your thoughts on that. And also, there was a report about a week ago in Politico about Steve Bannon, the former presidential strategist and Svengali, I guess you might say, being, as the newspaper put it, fixated on China and intensively studying up on it and trying to be, I think, equipped to address what he considers to be the war that China is waging against us, economic warfare at least. What are your thoughts on how Trump is playing this hand and what role Steve Bannon's fixation might be playing in that handling of the hand?
Yeah, well, the Chinese certainly need more money right now because we see that foreign direct investment declined last year in dollar terms. It was down the first 7 months of this year. That's an historic turnaround from the increasing flow of Western and other cash into China. And so the Chinese are going to open up their economy because they do need money. And it's good that President Trump did not express an interest in that. Because the last thing we need is China getting funding for all of its problems from us. Bannon has been talking about China for some time, and clearly he identifies it, and correctly so, as a existential threat to the West and to the United States. He is going to make this an issue at the 2018 election and beyond, and good for him. Because the Chinese have been challenging us across the board, engaging in the most destructive tactics, and we have not confronted it with the seriousness that this challenge deserves. So it's good for Bannon for talking about this, because we do need to begin a national conversation on our relations with Beijing.
Amen. Well, your contributions to that conversation are important, to say the least, Gordon Chang, and I'm delighted that some of them we're able to relay here. Let me ask you about one other thing before we have to let you go, and that is, in the course of his travels, the president met with the president of the Philippines, Duterte. Some have called him the Trump of the East. Give us a tea leaf reading on what happened there, the nature of that relationship at the moment, and more to the point, where you think the Philippines are likely to head as potentially a very important ally at a difficult time in the Western Pacific.
Yeah, Rodrigo Duterte, the president of the Philippines, has been a very troublesome ally. He has wanted to defect to Beijing and to Moscow, as he calls it. He had very bad relations with President Obama because President Obama raised the issue of the extrajudicial killings of drug dealers and drug users. President Trump had a 40-minute meeting with him, very friendly. I think what President Trump did was he corralled Duterte, as President Trump corralled another troublesome ally, President Moon Jae-in of South Korea. This is a continuing story. You can't declare final victory. This is a struggle every day with Duterte, but at least we're on the right road. I would have liked Trump to have talked about human rights in public, but I understand why he didn't, because that would have gotten Duterte a little bit more upset at us. But nonetheless, there are so many complex issues here. I think Trump did a good job in his meeting with the Philippine counterpart.
Let's see, as they say, the proof of the pudding being in the eating, of whether it pans out at a moment when I fear that the Chinese double game is going to continue to manifest itself. Gordon Chang, I think you do too, is not only ongoing support for the threat from North Korea, but also continuing domination of the South China Sea and perhaps the East China Sea as well. Dangerous times in which it will be important for us to have reliable allies in that part of the world. Thank you, my friend, for your time. You are always a reliable source on all of these matters, and we appreciate your visiting with us. We'll look forward to doing so with you again next week. Next up, we'll talk a little bit about some of these issues with Kevin Freeman. That and much more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.